Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. We are, you know, keeping our eyes on Ukraine and the pending invasion, perhaps. At least all indications are. Joe Biden came out over the weekend and basically said, you know, they already have an invasion plan. They've already given the order. It's going to happen, folks. So it hasn't happened yet as of, you know, 4:08 Central Time here on a Monday afternoon. But we'll keep an our eyes on that one. But I got a few other headlines I'd like to talk about. I'm wearing my Badger hat. We're going to get there as well. But over the weekend, apparently, a couple of the people in MAGA World sphere went out for dinner at a fancy New York restaurant. And they just so happen to bump into each other. And these two people were Rudy Giuliani and the former fixer, Michael Cohen. And apparently some great effort was supposed to be made to sit them, you know, on the opposite sides of the restaurant. But that's not what happened. Michael Cohen and Rudy Giuliani have an awkward run-in at a New York hotspot, according to Emily Smith over at the Page Six. Although I suspect Miss Smith, you know, that might not be her real name. No one really wants to admit, you know, working for Page Six. But I read from this oh-so-reliable source. Warring former Donald Trump consiglieres. I hate that word. Say that word from, you know.
Consigliere?
Yeah, I never liked that word. I need a Sicilian buddy like Dom to say it for me.
Go watch consigliere. Yourself. Just hang out with the Godfather a little bit.
Warring former Donald Trump consigliere Michael Cohen and Rudy Giuliani had an awkward run-in that left onlookers wondering if hell had finally frozen over. Now, that comes later today. Apparently, storm warnings, hell freezing over sometime after 5 o'clock tonight. If we get freezing rain of more than a quarter inch, it's going to feel like hell because we're going to lose power. But, you know, setting aside the weather for those outside of southern Wisconsin and back to, you know, the New York nightlife. The dueling former personal attorneys for the ex-president were both at a busy restaurant Fresco by Scotto on Thursday night. Sources at the power broker spot said restaurant managers had planned to seat the awkward duo at separate sides of the establishment, but the plan went terribly awry. A source told us before they arrived, other VIPs snagged their planned tables, and ultimately the two Trump-connected figures ended up sitting right next to each other at neighboring tables. There was zero interaction between them, and when ex-New York City comptroller Bill Thompson walked in, he went over to say hello to the former mayor. I guess that's Rudy. A second source said, Cohen then went around the restaurant shaking hands with other diners while giving Rudy a wide berth. It was so icy between the pair. It seemed like hell had frozen over. One guest at a nearby table was overheard saying, I feel like I'm in the middle of a boxing ring before the match is about to start. You could feel the tension in the air. While Cohen, who calls Giuliani Dopey Rudy, declined to comment, other sources said he did the rounds at the restaurant, shaking hands with fellow diners. He made a point of avoiding the former New York mayor. Meanwhile, Giuliani sat there stone-faced at a table with friends with what was left of his hair dye trickling down his brow, said an onlooker. Very descriptive. I like how Page Six, Emily Smith, very descriptive in her writing. A little bit more. In August of 2018, Cohen pled guilty to charges including campaign finance violations, tax fraud, and bank fraud, as he was caught up in special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. He was disbarred as a lawyer and sentenced to 3 years in prison. He and Giuliani have never seen eye to eye, but Cohen recently called Trump's lawyer an idiot who drinks too much, predicting he will eventually flip on the former president. Meanwhile, Giuliani has blasted Cohen as pathetic and a serial liar. Giuliani, who just faced the indignity of being unmasked during the seventh singer of the Masked Singer, to the horror of some of the judges, is in active discussions about testifying before the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Apparently, Rudy wants the capillary thrown in.
Consigliere.
No, I'm talking about the seafood dish with the noodles and the clams.
The cavatappi?
No.
Now I'm messing with you.
If I could reach through the airwaves and smack you in your big head, like Juwan Howard did to a Badger coach over the course of the weekend, I just might consider allegedly doing that. It wasn't a legend. You know, I was watching that game, the Badgers, and I got to go here. It has sort of caught the imagination, at least at the Crudy household. My wife must have watched that video like 20 times last night. She found herself in the rare circumstance that I left the basketball game on. The Badgers were winning handily down the stretch. And, you know, like in the last minute, I had to run, take a kid to work, or do whatever I was doing. I was leaving the area. And I got in the car, and I drove away. And the Badgers won. So, you know, that was it. And I flipped around, listened to our own radio station, whatever I was doing. And I get back home later, and my wife's like, oh, you missed the most important part of the game. I'm like, no, I saw Crowell, you know, and he made the shot, and we took the lead, and Davis scored like 11 in a row, and the Badgers won like a 15-point victory over Michigan. And now we're number one in the Big Ten, tied for number one. My wife's like, no, you missed the fight. Ooh, do tell, honey. So anyway, she starts pulling up the video for like the 15th consecutive time. And I see Michigan, former Fab Fiver, Juwan Howard. And I don't know how big a basketball fan you are. I am, you know, big and a fan, but do you like the Fab Five? Do you remember those old Michigan teams?
Yeah, I absolutely love the Fab Five. That was right before I moved to Michigan, actually, and I was pretty excited. I've always enjoyed Juwan Howard. I've never had an issue with the guy.
Let's put a political spin on this just for, you know, the sake of our audience. Sarah Palin allegedly slept with one of the Fab Five. Which one? You know, the one-term, half-term governor of Alaska, the former mayor of Wasilla. Apparently, she, you know, went to a couple of different colleges when she was a young co-ed. And she apparently was in sports. And as a co-ed covering Michigan coming out to play against her team, you know, if you believe the book, apparently it's in a book. She had sexual relations with one of the Fab Five. So
I believe it was Glenn Rice.
Do you Google that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it was Glenn Rice. At least according to the reporting of some fine source like Page Six. And you heard it here on the Devil's Advocates as well, so it must be true. 63% of the time we're right every time. But I wasn't in the room. I don't know for sure if there was, you know, consummation or whatever. But bring it back to the basketball game last night. So anyways, the Badgers won. And the Badger head coach, Greg Gard, called the timeout with like 15 seconds left in the game. Well, you know, he already had the scrubs in. And clearly the Badgers had won. And Juwan Howard, you know, a passionate coach. And he had already had a run-in with the Maryland coach like last year. Well, you know, after the game, and according to Greg Gard, his rationale is he's got a bunch of guys who aren't used to playing against pressure defense. They got 4 seconds to cross the 10-second line. But if he calls a timeout, they get 10 seconds. They can go and run a play as executed like they teach them in practice. So, you know, ever the good coach, Greg Gard at the Wisconsin team, called timeout and told his players, go do it like we drew it up in practice. They didn't even take a shot at the end of the game. But Juwan Howard took some great issue with that. You know, that and probably the fact he got his ass handed to him again by the first place Big Ten Badgers. But Juwan Howard, the former Fab Fiver who did not allegedly have sex with Sarah Palin, Kind of lost his cool a little bit. And walked by Greg Gard, wasn't going to acknowledge him. And I have two life circumstances to draw upon, but this reminded me of the time I debated former Governor Tony Evers. Well, I guess he's the current governor. At the time, he was candidate Tony Evers.
He had similar moves to Gard, yeah.
Well, at that time, Tony Evers took some umbrage with something I had said, apparently holding him accountable for his educational record. Didn't like that so much. And he grabbed me after an event. And he talked some smack to me. And unlike Greg Gard and Juwan Howard, well, you know, honestly, me and Tony Evers is something of a mismatch. I mean, A, I got 100 pounds at least on the guy. And B, you know, I'm a strapping young man of early 50s. Tony's a little more advanced in age. And a cancer survivor and, you know, not a large boned man like myself. So it would have been a mismatch like Juwan Howard and Greg Gard. So when Tony grabbed me, it didn't lead to much except a little smack talk back and forth between me and the eventual governor. But yesterday, Juwan Howard, you know, he gets jaw to jaw with Greg Gard, and Greg Gard did grab his arm to do something to try and stop him, kind of like Tony did to me.
Yes, very similar move. And it also looked like Gard was dealing with a player, and Juwan Howard was formerly a player, and I'm pretty sure he didn't enjoy that either, which escalated the situation.
Oh, so you think Greg Gard was being a little condescending, like he was still
I don't necessarily think it was a condescending thing as much as an instinctual thing, because he deals with larger men than him all the time in practice, and that's kind of how he deals with them, when, especially when they're upset. And I don't necessarily think it was a condescending thing at all.
Well, Juwan Howard didn't take it well. And Joe Krabenhoff, a Badger assistant coach of a strapping lag like myself, 6'8", about 220. Well, I saw Krabenhoff was talking a little smack. I don't know what was being said precisely. But Juwan Howard, who's nearly 7 feet, reached out, and it looked like he cocked back and punched him in the mouth. But that's not exactly what happened. He, like, reached out and, like, palmed his head and, like, kind of scratched it. And then pulled his head off. And then all hell broke loose on the Badgers sideline. One of the Badgers players was throwing some roundhouses. Come back. We'll talk more Devil's Advocates.
A dinner was arranged. I think he asked for the dinner.
Let's have trial by combat.
Oh, we had a very nice dinner.
If we don't battle to the death, they will kill us both.
Hi, it's Rudy Giuliani, and I'm on Cameo.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?